Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
To talk those Giants, we welcome in Giants legend Phil Sims. Phil, how you been? Been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I like how you let into me. You got to give me that balance of nature Phil thing. So, what am I going to say? Look, I'm proud of being part of balance of nature. Whatever. I'll leave Boomer and Geo out of this too.
So we got some peppers for you, Phil.
Yeah, Phil, what do you think here of the state of your beloved New York football Giants?
Oh, boy. Well, listen, I think everybody was, too many things. One, it shows you they're not quite at the level, even close to where they want to be when you can never win a close game or when you have leads and you lose them. That says something there. I would say overall, though, looking at the team, you know, disappointment is on the defensive side. The offensive line has been, I think, surprisingly good. Running the ball, protecting the quarterback okay. They have the quarterback. I think we all agree upon that. And it's here we go. It's close, okay? It's close. Every game they've been playing since after the 0-3 start or whatever, they've been extremely competitive and had chances to probably win them all. And I think that explains the team. I know that, of course, Brian Daboll, I feel bad that they let him go. But as coaches around the NFL, look at this roster, look at how they played this year, forget the record. There's a lot of guys and coaches that would love to have that giant job because I think it's something you can say, all it needs is a little more and it's going to be good.
You know, Phil, you've never sugarcoated stuff. That's one of the reasons why we all love you here. So I hear you on the personnel stuff. The O-line was really good the other day, and they've taken some steps forward. But to me, it's less about the team at least in terms of the roster right now and more about the health of the organization, which is why I think they need somebody as the head coach who's done it before. Where do you stand on what's going to be a very extensive and a very important search for the Giants' next head coach?
Well, you know, BC, I don't really know the answer to that question. I don't think they have to have somebody that's done it before. You know, sometimes the guy that's done it before already got fired somewhere, and then what did he do there? Let's judge that a little closer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get into who. In my mind, I have two or three assistant coaches. If the Giants hire them, I'm not going to say who they are. I'm not backing out or anything like that. It's just, I played for the Giants. I worked for the Giants in a certain capacity. And I'm just going to be truthful to this. There's a couple assistants out there that I think are perfect for the Giant job. And as it gets closer, we'll see where it goes.
Do you believe that the Giants' failures has been more about poor coaching or undermanned roster or just effort from players in general, specifically on the defense? What do you think is the biggest reason why the Giants yet again are 2-9?
Well, you know, look, I'll be the fan here for a minute. You know, I'm just not happy with how situations are used or done. So it's, I guess you'd say it's some of the coaching, some of the decision-making on both sides of the ball. You know, we just keep talking about the offense. Oh, they shouldn't have thrown this pass and that. But on the defensive side, come on. That's the biggest disappointment of all of this New York Giants football team. I mean, we expected the defense, at least I did, to not be good. I expected them to be damn dominant. And it's not that they just have a defensive line. They got depth there, too, where they can bring guys in and out and keep them fresh. And to me, that's probably the biggest thing that I've looked at and been disappointed in the football team as the defensive line has not dominated like I thought they would.
Well, Phil, I think we all have that expectation. I remember saying during the summer, like, hey, this could be a top 10 Giants defense and getting a lot of sacks and, you know, very sudden flipping fields and forcing turnovers. So we all thought that. Why hasn't that happened?
Well, I think, you know, listen, I'm disappointed in the coaching on the defensive side. I'm just going to be honest there. There are situations, you know, Shane Bowen came in, and when he was at Tennessee, and, you know, we don't know if it's his ideas or he's being told some of this stuff, but, man, down in Tennessee, they were a blitzing team. And they were, hey, the team wasn't very good, but the damn defense could play a lot of good games. And I thought, wow, that's going to cover up some of the weaknesses the Giants had. I didn't see it last year. Now that they have a better roster, I just wish they were more aggressive on the defensive side. So that's really a big complaint that I have about the football team.
Well, let me follow up on that. And something else I think we all agree on. So we talk about this, but how does it work on game day? So Daboll is an offensive guy. They might go offense, it might go defense, independent of that. When the head coach, who's an offensive mind, sees things happening on defense that he doesn't like, he's obviously either got to walk down the hall during the week or walk down the sideline and find the coordinator and say, yo, what are we doing? Let's mix it up. That didn't seem to happen enough. Am I overstating how often that happens for the successful teams?
Well, yeah, I think there should be great communication between the head coach and the coordinators. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, I hate saying these things and people, you're still talking about the old days. But I can remember standing there or something and Bill Parcells on the headset talking to Bill Belichick. And it wasn't like, hey, you're doing a great job, coach, you know. And it was, I would even chuckle sometimes going, damn, he's getting all over Belichick. But I always think that's the job of the head coach, to manage the game. Manage the game means many things, going forward on fourth and three, punting the ball on fourth and one, but also managing the coordinators. And, you know, that you get a feel for the game and you go, hey, come on, let's go. Let's send some guys. Let's put more pressure on them. You know, we got it. We're covering well, whatever it is. And the same on the offensive side. Hey, let's take a few chances here. This is set up to do this, whatever. There's many, many scenarios that you can bring up there. So that's one of the things I love about what I do now. On Sundays, I watch all these.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Games. I got three TVs, man. We're watching it. We're all talking, laughing. And, man, the management of games by NFL coaches, this might be the worst year ever of around the league, you know, going for everything on fourth down. Well, analytics said it was 52%. Well, analytics is stupid. How's that?
Okay. Oh, boy, Phil.
No, these analytic things get way out of control because it's the out for the coaches. Well, analytics said, you know, I should do this. So that's why I'm being aggressive, because that's who we are. We're aggressive. That's the other term I hate hearing. Oh, we're just aggressive. No, you know, you might be aggressive, but at this point in time, that was not the right call.
Yeah, just leaving leaving points off the board without kicking field goals. I'm not saying you can't be aggressive in certain spots, Phil, but so many of these coaches, they just forego the 3 points like it's nothing. It changes the game.
I write them down every week as I'm watching games. You know, the old story, chasing the points, it's real and it's wrong. And I shouldn't say it's wrong. Most of the time, it is wrong. And, you know, I learned through a couple coaches. And, again, you know, I think Bill Parcells, I'll bring his name up all the time, that he's one of the, one of the greatest game managers in history. And there were certain things, just for example, we played the championship game against the Washington Redskins in 86, and we take the win instead of the opposite, taking the ball or making them take it. So we had the win behind us. And I said, so why are we doing this? He goes, I just want to get ahead. I don't care if it's 3-0. That score, we're starting to put pressure on them right away. And when we do that, we got them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's so true. You know, and you're saying it. Take the damn 3 points. We're going for 2 in the first quarter, some of these coaches.
I love it.
So Phil, I hear you. I'm not going to disagree, but I'm going to give you something else to chew on and offer a little more clarity here.
So, you can disagree.
I don't fully disagree. I just want to kind of go to a different part of the conversation. So you talk about your day, right? And we all miss those days. But 3 points mattered more because teams didn't drive down the field in 33 seconds with one timeout. It's a different league. So the emphasis and chasing points, while it fails a lot, I do understand it more so now because it's a different league, Phil.
Well, I'm going to disagree in many things. Yes, it is a different league. There's no doubt about that. But also the scenario, chasing it, when you chase it, that's always big. So you got to make those decisions, you know, like going for it, like you're saying. Well, okay, we hear the analytics, we all this talk. But let's go into what the game really is that day, where points are going to be extremely valuable. And, you know, I go back to the when we watched Detroit and Philadelphia play. Oh, my gosh. That was, come on. It just right away, let's go for it. You know, go for it. Yeah, you're playing probably the best defensive front in the damn NFL. Okay, but we're going to go for it on 4th-and-3. Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Well, they can cover, they can rush, they can stop the run. But no, let's do it because that's who we are. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to be versatile. You got to be able to adjust. And that's the thing about analytics and sometimes this, what I say, these outs. We're aggressive. This is what we do. I don't want to hear it.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Phil Sims. We got plenty to get to here. I want to go back to the Giants for a second. Big picture, Phil. You mentioned before that you think they have a better roster. What do you think overall of the job Joe Shane has done in 4 years?
Well, you know, I don't have the problem with it that everybody else does out there. Like, oh, my gosh, he picked this guy and this guy. You know, you can go to every team, and I'll show you a lot of bad draft picks. So he's hit on some big ones, too. So, look, they're involved with it down there, the hierarchy, the owners, whatever you want to say. They're, of course, love their team. They want the fans to be happy. That's the Mara's way. There's no doubt about that. So, overall, I think he's hit some home runs. And, you know, how did we like Jackson Dart? Is that okay? Is he okay? Yeah, I think he's okay. And, you know, some of these other, going and getting Brian Burns. Oh, my gosh. That would change. That he changes your damn team, Brian Burns. And
well, not enough.
He's not the leader, if he's not the leader of that football team, I don't know who in the hell is. Because it's effort. It's emotion. It's every dang game with Brian Burns.
He's a stud. And nobody's going to push back on that. But I'm happy you specifically used the word leader. Because to me, and I'm not there, as you know, from where I'm sitting, the Giants seem leaderless. Because if they and I know what LT did, taking naps, but that was LT. When you're late for meetings or you're missing walkthroughs, like, what veteran? It doesn't seem to be Dexter. Burns doesn't seem to have that personality. Who is putting the young bucks in place? They don't seem to have leadership, Phil.
Well, we're not going to know what goes inside the meetings and locker room, so we don't know that. I would be shocked if Abdul Carter is not getting an earful full from some of the defensive players, and of course he's getting the answer a little bit from the coaching staff. I can't imagine something like that happening with all the head coaches I had with the New York Giants.
Yeah.
So the punishment would be quick and it would be severe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we might not know about it. They might keep it under wraps a little better in today's world where everything gets out. But, yeah, it's unacceptable. And I'm sure the teammates just didn't go, oh, it's okay. No, I don't think that's – I think it's a little more than that. I think on the defensive side, they got a couple guys that would speak up and keep you in line. And I feel pretty safe in saying that, too, about the Giant defense.
Okay. And again, you know, like Deion Dawkins said what he said the other day, you know, from the Bills' perspective. I'm not saying that nobody on the Giants said anything, but there's attempted leadership and there's like effective leadership. And the fact that it seemed to be fairly repeated with Abdul Carter, yeah, guys may have said something. He didn't get the message, Phil.
Well, yeah, there's you know a little things. I had a good thought in my mind about that. Is that we really don't know that, but yes, I wish there was a unit on the team that we knew was going to be vocal, physical, vocal, and do the right stuff to do the right job. And maybe I'm kind of agreeing with you there.
Okay.
You know, stuff like that. I'm not going to give the names, but Lawrence Taylor would speak up. And one time we had a little problem on the offensive side with the receiver, and Lawrence walked up to him and says, "Hey, man, I want you to play well today. But after this game, if we lose, I can't even say what he said."
Oh, man. Beat him up?
But he basically said, "I'm going to beat your ass when it's over."
Oh, man, that's awesome.
That is leadership.
Yep.
But here's where what happens. There's a guy or two on the team that is on that, and the coach permeates it down to the players. And, of course, the coach was a great leader. And, you know, the old thing, I mean, I always say this too, every day was the most damn important day for 8 years under Bill Parcells. And I really mean that. I mean, it was incredible. The pressure on practice, you know, you want to go the old, who said that? Allen Iverson. Practice? you know, that's what you think sometimes, but not when the leader is out there telling you it better be good. If it's not, you're going to hear it big time the following day. And what it does, especially when you're playing teams and you know you're better than. Of course, that's not the case with the Giants this year. You never look at a game and go, wow, they should win this game going away. That's not possible.
Phil, what do you think of the play calling with Jackson Dart? There's been a lot of criticism nationally, locally, about the Giants relying too heavily on him to run the football. What are you seeing from Jackson Dart? Not just his play overall, but the idea of the play calling running him potentially too much.
Well, they're trying to win the game. So I don't have the – I'm not against that like a lot of people. Listen, to me, the problem is Jackson Dart in that situation. It's not that difficult. You got to know when the play is coming close to an end. And, you know, as a quarterback, he's running. I'm sure he sees everybody around him as he's running and he's doing whatever, but you got to get down and, you know, you got to live to play another play. You know, it's almost like passing. It's great if you can throw it down the field and hit a big one. We need you to hit all the routine throws, and those plays they set up for him. I thought they were extremely well designed. They were by and large working in favor of the Giants, but he takes it just that little bit, that two extra steps, and that's the situation he is in.
Yep.
So surely he has learned. It's like quarterbacks. I don't know who I said this about last week on a podcast. I said, he's throwing interceptions. Your only goal this week to do in this game, and it's going to hamper you a little bit, never throw an interception. Don't even get close to taking a chance or anything where it can happen because you want to get your confidence back. You want to help your team, and you want the team to believe in you.
Yeah, so, yeah. And let's face it, Phil.
Let me just say.
Oh, sure, of course.
I'm surprised players on the team didn't kind of read the Riot Act a little bit to Jackson Dart just because they all know how important he was to the football team.
No, that kind of goes back to what I was saying about leadership. Another example where maybe it wasn't done. And we all know what he's doing, and we all respect it. He's a young buck, and he's trying to prove to a bunch of grown men, you drafted the right guy, and I'm here to go. And we respect that for sure. We love it. We just got to make sure he reels it in, and I think he will at some point. I've got a bigger issue, a question for you, maybe more... a little deeper. So we talked about the old days before, and can you imagine, you mentioned Washington, Gibbs rolling in, or the Eagles with Randall, or, you know, whomever, Dallas with Landry, rolling in, and you, as the quarterback, not once, but two straight home games, having to do a silent snap count because there's more fans of the other team. Like, and I don't blame Giant fans. They can make money, and they have it once, so sell the tickets. But the erosion of... the pride that Giant fans have always had, it is sad. Doesn't it sadden you?
Yeah, it does. It does. It's a lot to answer there.
Yeah, I know. You know,
nowadays, we need a satisfaction right away. So, you know, no matter what happened with the Giants this year, I don't know if I really deep down thought they would make the playoffs. I thought, wow, if everything falls into place and, you know, this happens and that happens, they can make the playoffs. But it's still a rebuilding franchise. And they're getting, like I said, I think they're getting closer. They got some guys that can be leaders of the team and people to look up to because of their production and the way they handle themselves. So, but yeah, with the fans, actually, I was a little happy, not happy, but surprised when Green Bay played the Giants. I expect, oh my gosh, it'll be all Green Bay people. But I thought the Giant fans, by and large, were into it. And, you know, I could hear them as I was watching TV. So, yeah, you know, one thing, as Bill Parcells said, I know I quote him a lot, and I don't care. You know, he said a lot of mean things to me. So sometimes I want to get even. But owners know two things. You know, they can count to 11. So make sure you don't run a unit out there that has 9 or 10 on it, and they can see the empty seats. And the empty seats are a big deal.
Yep.
And they are the Giants. You know, when people say the Maras love the football team, that's an understatement. It's beyond that. It's more than that. They really, truly, I think, with Wellington Mara and even John talking to them, they want more for the fans. It's always about the fans in their eyes. And especially, I used to talk to Wellington Mara a lot, and he'd always bring it up about the fans.
You know, Phil, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Got to win to keep the fans coming, and the Giants need to do more of that, of course.
Phil, I know you have a unique taste in glasses. What do you think of Jackson Dart's glasses?
Okay, what the hell was unique about my glasses? Okay, what have you been talking to, Big Fat
Grandma?
Boomer?
Grandma
no,
glasses,
I mean,
Phil.
I listened to Boomer and Gio lady calling you Lady Glasses. I'd be curious to get your take on Jackson Dart. Not his arm, who cares about that, but his glasses that he wears. Are you into that, that style?
Well, I think the first time I saw him, I go, what the hell is he wearing there? But, you know, listen, he's young. He's pretty hip, to say the least. I guess that's the way to say it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The way he put the uniform on and the eye black and everything. So the glasses, I just look at them. I'm getting used to them. I saw him again last night on TV when I was watching something. I go, yeah, man, he's got it all. You know, so, and what's really amazing about Jackson Dart is I think the running has been better than we all expected. But I was at training camp a lot. And every time I went to training camp, I go, damn, he's doing it better today than he did the other day. Is this real? And, of course, right in the game, right away, he shows it to us. But his choice of clothes and wardrobe and and glasses, for him, it's working. That's all I can say.
He's got drip. There's no doubt. All right, so we want to get...
What do you call it? He's got drip?
Yeah, a little drip. He's drippy. Come on, Phil. He's got a little drip. He's got a little swag.
Hey, yeah? Act your age. Hey, come on.
You know. Jeez, he is. He's 22. Hey, what do I want to do? Your grandma no, glasses you. Like you?
He's saying oh, you me. At oh. your age. Yeah, oh. using the word drip.
Okay, I got you. All right, so there's a couple of college quarterbacks that the Jets very well might have an eye on here. Right. But before we get to that, something along the lines of college, and I know I texted you about this briefly to congratulate you. Morehead State, the stadium in which they play, is now called Phil Simms Stadium, recently named after you. What an honor, man. How amazing was that?
Well, yeah, it was great. It really was. You know, it's humbling, to say the least. And what was really great about it, being back in the school for a long time, I go down there every summer, usually help run a football camp or whatever. Camps are kind of dying everywhere. You know, it's all about, what do they call it? You just come to let the school look at you and how fast you run the 40 in, and okay, and we move on to the next school.
Yep.
But, yeah, it was a great honor. I got to see a lot of teammates that I played with that I haven't seen since we left college.
Wow.
And, so all that and just the support from the fans. And, hey, Moorhead's on a roll, baby. They've won four in a row. That's all I can say.
We care about the stadium, Phil.
I was just looking it up. I didn't even know where it was.
Kentucky, Moorhead, right? State.
Yeah, Kentucky. Okay.
Yeah, it's in Kentucky. Yeah, yeah. So it was great. The first thing I got hundreds of text messages, and they all say congratulations, and then they go, how much did you have to pay them?
Did you cut a check? You had to cut something along the way, Phil.
Well, maybe over the years, yeah, but yeah, I didn't have to put this for this.
Gotcha.
So it was great. You know, awesome. It really was a lot of fun.
And what are you thinking of some of these college quarterbacks that you see? You have one in particular that you want the Jets to get?
No, not, I don't have one particular now because there's too much time left in the college football season, off season. Let's see. And, you know, you get a chance to really look at them. But, hey, it's going to be I don't know if it's going to be a great quarterback draft, but it's going to be a big volume of them. In the next 2 years, there are a lot of pro quarterbacks in college football. And, I mean, it's every style that you want. You know, Ty Simpson of Alabama, he's a very, very good thrower of the football, and he can really run too. You know, that's just one. Of course, Fernando Mendoza.
Love him.
I like the way you said that.
Yeah, I mean, man, I covered him one game when they were playing Iowa, and that was probably his worst game of the year, but I stood on the field behind him, watched him throw it, and I went, holy man. It was. I know it's against the air and all that. I don't care. I think I can judge him pretty damn well.
Yeah.
But he threw it like a big-time pro. And what I do like about, we'll see how the offseason goes and how the rest of the season goes. But the one thing in Indiana, it's not like this all-out offense. It's a pro offense. You know, they're playing like they're a pro football team. They don't take chances. They got, you know, they kind of have the package that you see them do every week, and then they add on to it a little. And, of course, the quarterback is a tremendous thrower of the ball. And, you know, they're good on defensive line and offensive line, so it's going to be fun to watch the playoffs. But those two jump out to me. John Mateer, who's at Oklahoma, has a great arm, can really move around. This is me just speaking right now. If I was him, I'd stay in college one more year to be a little more of a system quarterback. You know, we get all excited about all these things about these quarterbacks, and all of a sudden, well, he's running too much, you know, this and that. And you need experience. Is real. It is true. If you can get 3 years of starting quarterback in college, and especially if it's against good competition and you're on a good team, then you can really judge them. It becomes much, much easier. So saying that, the two I just talked about, I think we know a lot about them too.
We do.
Where they go in the draft.
I love Mendoza, but no, I'm not a scout here, and there's a lot to determine still. One thing, and I finally come to this conclusion, and listen, the Jets being the Jets have gotten my brain twisted over the years trying to evaluate these quarterbacks, so I've gotten more wrong than I've gotten right, admittedly, but I am now of the opinion, Phil, and I see Drake May doing this like an expert. I see Jackson Dart doing this. One of the most desirable traits, yeah, how big are you, fast arm trait, we get that. Can you manipulate the pocket, little step to your left, little step back, little step right, little step up, to give yourself a window with your eyes up downfield to buy time when the pocket's collapsing? I almost think that that is among the most important things for sure for modern quarterbacks now. What about you?
Well, I would say this right now. It's a great thing about this, what I do now. Saturday, I watch college football the whole day. It's awesome. And, you know, I see a lot of quarterbacks that manipulate the pocket much better because throwings become bigger, of course, in college football. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, they were great working the pocket. Why? Because what other choice did they have? Were they going to take off and run? No. So that's something that you look at, too. Then you say, oh, this guy's really mobile. He can look at all that good runs. Yeah, that's good. But will that transfer to pro football, unless you are off the charts, Lamar Jackson, to say the least? He was so quick and so fast, he was able to, his running adapted right to the NFL. But there's not many Lamar Jacksons out there. And the fact that you run too much in college, takes away from the fact of what pro football, no matter how you look at it, it is. It's a drop back, read it, and make the throw. And we judge these quarterbacks. Damn, do we judge them hard. Ah, Caleb Williams, did they make a mistake? Should they draft a quarterback this year? What do you think? My gosh, Caleb Williams, he's tremendous. He's really, if I had to redraft him, which I did this on a podcast, redraft him, I still would take Caleb Williams number one. I mean, I'm not going to say it's just a shoe-in, but big, runs, mobile, throws on the run better almost than anybody I've ever seen.
Wow.
He's got a really good arm, and he's being coached, and he's really just becoming a better football player. And we, like I say, we put too much on these young quarterbacks. It was never that way. And all of a sudden, we're ready to judge them after 2 years, and we got to get rid of them. So I don't even know if I answered your question.
All I heard there was what's so great about what you do now. You sit there, watch football on Sunday. You sit there, watch football on Saturday. What is it that you do now? Is this just retired? Like, what's going on in Phil Simms' world that you can just sit around on your rear end Saturday and Sunday, wall to wall, and watch all these football games?
Well, wait, don't make it sound like I'm just a big fat slob sitting there watching TV. You know, I what do I do now? I do a lot of that. I talk on, you know, do a lot of podcasts. Not a lot, but I do enough of them to where I can have some fun and get my opinion out there and probably counter, which is I love to do, is counter what I hear on TV. Did you know the Cowboys, they can run the table now. They beat the Raiders. Oh, my God, the Cowboys are great. Oh, I don't know how they've ever lost a game. I think they can run the table and win the championship. I mean, that's really basic. I'm being sarcastic. But that's what people are saying on TV the last couple of days. Raiders. The Raiders maybe are the worst team in the NFL. You know, they got a lot of work to do. So
People on radio and TV the last day or so have been ripping Cam Scadaboo for participating in wrestling out at Madison Square Garden. Do you see any of that? You have an opinion on Cam Scadaboo getting in a little mix up there with some of the wrestlers?
Well, I didn't read it. I know what happened or whatever, and I would just say this: you shouldn't have done it. You know, it's just a bad optic. That's all it was to me. I went, oh, what are you doing? You just you don't have to do it. Just be part of the team, hang around, do your thing, rehab as much as you can, all that. But yeah, so I'm not like crazy mad over it, but also. If he'd have said something to somebody in the organization, I think they would just go, you know, Cam, hey, don't do it. You know, just hang here with us.
Yeah. That's what we said. Nobody's saying don't go, but you don't have to start shoving people and getting shoved. I mean, your foot was hanging by a thread.
Oh, listen. Boy, yeah, you get me going. Between him and Jackson Dart, man, it was a couple good weeks. You know, you're just like, wow. The personality of the team changed like overnight, and it was exciting. It really was. And you know, all of a sudden I'm thinking, damn, the Giants, they could probably hang and beat anybody right now in the NFL. So they found
Phil, you sound like those dopes saying that the Dallas can beat anybody and win the Super Bowl. So you made the same mistake, man.
No, you cut out on me a little bit there. Oh. What I was saying, I know it just brought excitement, and you felt like they had a chance to win.
I'm just messing with you.
Like, oh, my God, here we are again, you know, down 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. You know, I watched the game this past week. Wow, Green Bay, come on. You talk about Jordan Love can do two things right now. He can throw a screen, and he can throw it far down the field. But where the game is really played is in between. And, man, Green Bay, what happened to their offense? I probably have watched every one of their games. And it's just, there's no in between. It's bomb it or throw a screen. Oh. There's, you know, the league is in between. It's where all the plays you have to make, the routine plays, and those are plays you can't miss. And I don't know. I know you guys watched the game. But when Malik Willis came in there, bing, bomb, boom, whatever, touchdown, Jordan Love goes, I'm good. I'm coming back in. And it's real. Malik Willis, last year when he played, he was not good. He was spectacular. And, you know, no starting quarterback wants to see the backup come in and have great success. I hope we score, but I hope it's with you handed off and he runs 80 yards, you know.
Like, Jeff Hostetler.
Well, okay. I don't know. I'm not. How's that comparison?
You said no starting quarterback wants to see the backup quarterback come in and have success. Did that not happen?
Well, no. When you're hurt, you don't give a crap.
All right. I'm just making sure.
There you go.
Last one for you, Phil.
Wait. Let me just hit it. So I'm on the field with San Francisco, and I want to say hi to Kyle Shanahan, which my son's best friend's on all that, and the Shanahans have been very good to me over the years. And Brock Purdy is there, and I said, Brock, I know where you're at, man. I said, yeah, you want the team to win, you just hope the quarterback doesn't play too well.
And what'd he say?
Trying to give him confidence, and of course, I was... he kind of smiled and laughed a little bit. I went, wow, that was stupid on my part.
Oh, man.
But he did. Still. I thought he played really well in his first game back and everything like that. And, you know, Mac Jones, it just goes to show you time, but the right offense, the system around you and all that, you get a chance. He took advantage of it big time. I mean, that's an understatement. Really, that's the guy, I think, and I've always said this, right or wrong, that's who San Francisco wanted. And, you know, even Kyle Shanahan is kind of like, yeah, it was a lot of time when we did that in between or whatever. And they changed their mind and took Trey Lance. And Mac Jones, you saw what he would fit and did fit the 49er offense to the T. I mean, everything about what they do, that's what he was. And that's why they moved up in the draft, in my opinion, was to take Mac Jones. But public pressure, TV, whatever it is. I don't know what changed their minds, but it backfired on them.
Last one, Phil. Hoff was telling me, our producer, in our ear, that Shedeur Sanders is going to start this week for the Browns. What are your thoughts on Shedeur getting the NFL start here against the Raiders this weekend?
Well, it's a great place to start. It really is. And the fact that Dillon Gabriel got a concussion, I said, well, there's no way he'll be back. And I look at the Raiders. I watched them play against Dallas and everything like that. I haven't watched Shedeur's play yet, but I'll probably do that later today. But this is the team. They'll be ready. It'll be extremely careful. And then once they get you settled in as a quarterback, which you want to do to, I don't care who the quarterback is, Aaron Rodgers. Hey, let's throw two screens. And all of a sudden, I'm just telling you the truth. If I were to throw two screens to start the game, I go, all right, man, I got it today. You know, this is good. I feel good. I'm confident now. And, you know, you can make the rest of the throws. So they'll manage him very well. I would expect him to play well. The argument about that he's not getting reps at practice. Hey, I never got reps until I played. In other words, we didn't give reps to the backup quarterback. They ran the scout team. Because there's so much in a game plan and what you're trying to do for the game, you don't have time to be substituting quarterbacks in and out in practice to make sure the backup is. No, the backup is the backup for a reason. So when he's called upon, the standards are still high. Won't be as good as the starter, but at least gives you a chance.
Thank you, Phil. We appreciate your time. Good luck in, you know, whatever it is that you're doing now, hanging out watching football wall-to-wall Saturday, Sunday, feeding the fox.
Yeah, the foxes. I got three of them now. So I don't know what the hell's happening, but as my wife said the other night, I took food out to the foxes. It was chicken breast. They weren't cooked. And she goes, should I cook them first? I know I told Boomer on this story. I go, they're wild animals. No, they'll eat it. You know, they eat other animals a lot. So, whatever.
Yeah, but what about salmonella for the foxes? You should have cooked it.
Okay. That's a good answer.
There you go.
Wrong answer.
Thank you, Phil.
Great job, Phil.
Always
awesome.
Fun. I miss hearing Phil all the time. We asked Hoff and set him up, and obviously Phil loves talking football. What a life, huh?
Not bad.
He's like, that's what I love what I'm doing right now. I'm like, what exactly are you doing? You sound like you're sitting wall-to-wall Saturday at noon and all through the evening and then watching football and then Sunday.
I know he's working with some top high school quarterback prospects, too. I know both. I think it's Matt. I think Matt's doing that. I don't know that Chris is doing that, but Phil and Matt are definitely doing that. So he's got the life, bro.
I loved him as a player, loved him as a broadcaster, love hearing him as a radio guest, whether it was Mike over the years, or obviously Boomer and Geo, same thing. So pleasure to have Phil Sims on.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.